This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we're going to be talking about books.
Yay, one of my favourite topics.
Yes.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, sometimes maybe other words that people don't like. So do with that what you will, peas, AirPods, buds, Galaxy headphones that might fall out when you're changing your baby's nappy, whatever. Hi, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Oh, it's lovely. It's sunny.
Yep.
It's our beautiful city and we're out of lockdown. Well, yay. I think we are.
Yep.
The thing is, when we record these, it's a week or two delay.
I know.
So when you've listened to the one that came out last week, Peas, you'll be going, what? They said they were going out for dinner. I thought they were in lockdown. Look, it doesn't matter. We're just, you know that we obey the law, but also the podcasts are a little bit out of whack. So just forgive us.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about one of our favourite topics, which has taken us a long time to get to.
We've been trying.
Yeah, for nearly 2 years.
Yeah.
And so here we are. We're going to talk about books and they're really important.
Let's talk about books, baby. Let's talk about you and me. I was listening to, do you know the Shameless girls think you should never sing on a podcast?
What?
They're like, oh, no, people only talk. They're not, it's not. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I reckon we do it nearly every week.
Well, it doesn't mean you, well, we don't think that we're good at it.
Oh,
so
no,
who cares?
No. We're not.
Yeah, no.
We're not. I'd like it all sit down while I sing you a song.
Oh, well, I did sing the 12 Days of Christmas. We did sing.
Well, we did, yeah.
That Christmas special.
Yeah, and we like
it. We won't ever do that again.
Yes, I will. I'm proud. Proud. What about singing Amy? Imagine if we hadn't had her.
No. Oh, yeah, we've had so much singing.
Yeah, we love the singing on the podcast.
We haven't had some for a while. So.
No, come on, sing us a speak pipe.
Yes. So, okay, this could be a long one, so buckle in.
Buckle
right?
in.
We've asked the Brains Trust, the first group of people that helped us start the podcast, and we also asked in the Hangout about books, plus our own, because we could talk about books forever.
We really could.
And we're probably going to miss hundreds of amazing books, so we'll give you that.
Oh, look, we will. This is just a few books that people have said they like or books that we like. This is not a definitive list of every book for a parent whose child has a disability or additional needs. And some of these books have nothing to do with any of that. They're just books that we love.
And also we're not going to have the show notes for this, which Arka will be very pleased to hear about, because this would just take forever.
No, we can't list all of these books.
It'll be just pause. Write it down.
Yes.
Go backwards.
Yep. You can listen to it again.
Yeah.
You can just keep listening to us and listening to us. And please feel free to do it on different devices so it ups our downloads.
Yeah, we'll take that. So, we can't possibly cover all the books in the world. So we're just going to talk about ones that have really stood out to people and to us.
Yeah.
So, all right, tell me about your first sort of memories of books when you were a little girl.
Yeah. So I have always loved reading, and I have always been really lucky that reading came really easy to me.
Me too.
And it was a really easy escape from life, from having three brothers, from, like, we weren't allowed to have TV, so books were an escape. Mum did go through phases of no fiction, which was pretty full on. But, and I'm sorry, Mum, I just borrowed fiction books from friends and read them and didn't tell her.
Yeah.
So look at me, I'm a rebel. But I was allowed to read Love Comes Softly,
oh,
which is fiction.
Okay.
And it's now had When Calls the Heart TV series.
Oh, When Calls
series.
The Heart. Oh.
Yes. So there's lots of books by Jeanette Oakey.
Yes, I have
and
them too.
And they're Christian little girls.
Oh, they
love
were the
stories,
ones.
Babies.
Yes.
Snowing on Christmas Day, making bread. It was so.
Yes.
Anyway, Mum had it. She read it first and decided it is fiction, but it's also
but it's
very
okay.
good.
It's wholesome.
It's wholesome. Yeah. So they were my. I love them. I've read them and read them and read them. Like the covers are coming off.
Yes.
Like I just. I
anything
love
anything from Coorong.
Anything from Coorong.
We were fine.
Yep. Yep. And we had. This is funny because we were Seventh Adventist, so our bookstore was called ABC, the Adventist Book Centre.
Oh.
And so you'd say to people, oh, "I'm going to pop down to the ABC to get a book," and they'd think. Remember when you used to have.
Oh, the ABC shops.
Yeah, no,
yes.
There's no bananas in pajamas there, but there is
no.
cans of vegetarian food.
Oh. Got it.
But is there, did you love Judy Blume?
Yes, I love Judy Blume. But first, let me start, I loved Enid Blyton first.
Oh, Enid Blyton
yeah.
So,
and I've still got all of those hardbacks.
Yeah, I've got them too.
And I love The Children of Cherry Tree Farm.
Oh.
And I just loved them on that farm. And then, oh my gosh. And then
five go love, off in a caravan.
Yep.
What a fantasy that your parents, the whole summer holes.
Off here, you go.
Just go into that farm and they'll give you some cheese and eggs and you just camp in the back of a caravan.
I know.
Drawn by a horse.
Yeah. The Children of Cherry Tree Farm, they were in the moss.
Oh.
They were just having, you know.
Oh
my gosh. Galliano Circus. I loved that circus book. I just dreamed of joining the circus. The dog with tutus.
Oh,
I just,
everything.
The horses, the train carriages. I just loved Enid Blyton. Yeah,
loved
that was
it.
Sort
actually,
of my first reading as a little girl
same.
Independently.
Yep. All my kids have read or had read to them Enid Blyton.
The Faraway Tree,
The
Wishing
Tree.
Chair.
Moonface.
But I just want to know, why aren't they a movie?
I know.
So she mustn't have sold the rights, but then
maybe
what about Noddy?
Because
that was made into a TV show, but there's no why is the Faraway Tree should be a movie? Come on!
And how scared were you? Like they're not going to get back. The
I
world
know.
Is spinning at the top, and they're not going to get back. And there's
Dame
always
a lot.
What was the boy that always ran away and didn't do what he was supposed to do? And we're all waiting at the top of the thing, and he's not back. And yes, then you're going to get wet.
He's
and,
in the land of such and
yes,
such.
Yes, or the lands of. Topsy turvy where the ground. Oh, I loved it.
I just wanted the lands full of cakes.
Oh, the lolly lands. Oh, just, it's literally the best fantasies ever.
Yeah, really. So I love them. And my grandma gave me my first Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, I've got Anne of Green Gables written down
here. So I remember grandma giving that to me, and then she gave me every one. So I've got all the 11.
Yes.
Every time I'd leave her house, she'd give me another one.
Oh.
They're so special to me.
So special.
Yeah, and I just read them. I read all 11 every year.
Oh, every year?
Yep.
Wow, don't
thumbprints with chisel marks. They're in there.
If there's ever an Anne of Green Gables trivia night, I'm taking you.
Yes, you are, because I will win.
My mum bought me, and I read them for a long time, the little tiny Beatrix Potter books.
Yeah.
And because some of them are a bit bigger, you know, they're a bit more heavy stories. And I had a little beautiful bookcase and all the books fit on them.
Aww.
And I've still got my Beatrix Potter books.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of them are really old, like my grandmother or great-grandmother had given one to my mum. So they've got like, you know, pounds and shillings as the price.
Special.
And just nothing. What can evoke you like a book?
Oh, nothing.
Like opening a new book is beautiful. You can smell the smell.
Yeah.
But an old book, it's just like wearing the most comfortable Ugg boots, isn't it? Like,
my mum had a little book that was about friendship. So if anyone was being mean to me, she would read it to me at night. And it was just like, think about others and, you know.
Yep.
But I've still got it. It's like a Holly. It looks a bit like Holly Hobby.
Yeah. Did you read it on the podcast?
Yeah, I think I did read it on the podcast. Yeah. So that was a special little book.
Yep. I bet you never read. If any of you peas have read this, please send me a speak pipe or a message. Everything a teenage girl should know.
No.
So it's like the Seventh Adventist Christian version of, I don't know, girl stuff, but it really doesn't go into anything because they would. So I just remember reading it and it said, you should not partake in heavy petting. And I was obsessed. What is heavy petting? Because it's not even I suppose if they'd said don't pass your boyfriend, I would have understood. But heavy petting, what does that even mean? I was obsessed with heavy petting. I just wanted to know what it was.
Well, you would with The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. Have to listen to Monday Speak Pipes. So that was a big book in all of our lives. And the funniest thing, because there's everything a teenage girl should know and everything a teenage boy should know.
What was that?
Don't masturbate. But, you know, they once I was watching Spicks and Specks, and they have this section on Spicks and Specks where they have to sing a song whilst reading a book.
Yes,
and that's the book they pulled out. I was like, my worlds are colliding.
I know it. Yes, so what did you say before I interrupted? Judy Blume.
Judy Blume.
Yes.
Oh, are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
Oh, that was outstanding. Oh,
outstanding.
Yes. I read Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing to Miss Ten 2 years ago. We laughed.
Okay, so it still stands up.
And laughed and super fudge. And what I didn't realise as reading it as an adult is it's so funny because she's talking about the chaos of the house and Tootsie the baby and Fudge is just a nightmare and he's dropping things and throwing things and the big kid's trying to concentrate on his schoolwork and it's just it was gold.
We should I should reread them.
Yeah, reread it because they really laughed. It was funny.
I know. See, and our
Fudge was funny.
Yeah.
Farley Drexel.
Yeah. Ah, yeah,
I just wanted to read it as an adult because I remember loving it when I was that age. So to read it to the girls was great.
Yeah.
And, yeah, of course, Forever.
Oh, Forever.
With the sex scene.
That's the first book that I read that had sex in
it. Me too.
I had to hide that from Mum. I had to put it under my
pillow. Under my bed.
Yeah, there was no way that was going
to. No way. Oh. Actually, I would go over to the Knox Library and just read it on the shelf.
Yes, smart. Yeah. It was just like. Well, it was definitely not in my school library.
No.
So one of my friends, Kerry, whose parents very lax.
Yeah.
No, just normal.
Yeah.
She lent it to me and, oh, my gosh, I devoured it.
Yeah, me too.
Just like, oh, is that what it's like?
I don't know. We should read it now as adults.
I think it was very anticlimactic for her.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember she was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, that's probably true.
Well, I moved on from that to Flowers in the Attic.
Oh, gosh.
Were you allowed to read that?
No.
Well, but I wasn't. I hid it under the bed too.
Yeah, no, I wasn't allowed to read it, but I did read it.
Yeah, I read them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That was just like scary and you couldn't put it down.
I know.
Terrifying.
I know. And yes, terrifying. And also you're reading it when you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So then you might get called out and you have
you're
to
on
leave
a nice
it.
Edge. Yeah. Is that what they feel like on, you know, TikTok? Quick, shut it down.
Quick, shut it down. Mum's coming.
I loved all of those. The Dresden Dolls. My gosh.
I loved, you know, because I do love a murder mystery. I love Trixie Belden and all of those sort of books. And I loved The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole.
Oh, I didn't read that.
No. And then Coorong, which is a Christian bookstore, had The Sacred Diary of Adrian Plass, age 37 and 3/4. So funny. I related to Adrian Plass more than any other Christian I've ever related to because they'd like be going around in small group and the small group person would be saying, and what do you really want? And, you know, people would be like coming up with these profound answers. And then he was just like, I'd really like to see England beat Australia at Lord's.
Which is the truth. There's always
the
one.
Truth. And then I remember there was another one. The minister's up the front asking us if we've had a good week or something that he wants everyone to say, yes, hallelujah. And we didn't answer loud enough. And then we're terrified into believing we won't go to heaven unless we shout loudly. And I was just like, this is great.
Clever.
Anyway, very, very clever. I haven't reread it as a person that no longer attends church. It might be rubbish.
Oh, wow.
But it really made an impact on me at the time because it was humour about being in a church I hadn't had that.
No, because it was just all serious business.
Yeah, and it was funny and people at church were really funny. But
They are.
They are really funny and they're good at speaking up the front and everything. But we've never really written it or experienced it like that.
Did you have like your own Bible or what?
Yes. Oh, yes. So we had, the Seventh Adventist Church just has the same Bible as everybody else.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you'd get given a special one when you got baptized.
I got the women's Bible when I got baptized.
Yes.
When
I had the women's Bible.
I think I was 17. It was pink.
Yeah. My girls had it as well. I think one of them got given it at some point. So, and we also had hymnals. Did you have hymnals?
No.
Very old fashioned. So you'd get a leather Bible and matching hymnal.
Oh, with all the songs.
Yeah, and then all through high school you'd get all your this is so to sign their favourite hymn.
right?
Yeah. Okay. I suppose you could look back through it over life and go, well, that person really loved, I don't know, whatever,
how great
Amazing
they
Grace
are.
Or How Great They Are. Yeah. So.
I mean, that's a belter from the hymn times.
It is a belter. It yeah. is an absolute
it's,
belter.
It was before Shine, Jesus, it Shine. Was. You knew if that one's coming on, the whole church is just going to raise the roof. Anyway, this is an episode on books. Okay, then I think I moved to Harry Potter.
Oh, well, I was like married with kids when I read Harry Potter.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were younger.
Yeah. So, but Harry Potter also.
Well, there was all that debate in the church whether you should read it or not. I know.
Harry Potter stuff. And my friend's kids that were at the church school weren't allowed to have it, but my kids were at mainstream, what's it called, just non-church school.
Yeah.
So it just sort of came into our life. And I remember clearly because we were still attending church, and I remember thinking, I just want to read this and find out what it is. And I remember a friend said to me, you don't have to read the Satanic Bible to know it's satanic. And I thought, well, I'm going to read you anyway. I'm going to read it anyway. And it was just a game changer.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had to wait for every book
out. My sister would line up and
I lined up, yeah.
Wait for midnight to get the next book.
Oh, just, and my whole family. Look, Buzz and Woody have not read them. I'm not going to lie. But, like, scholarship has read them so many times that we've lost covers.
Yes.
And we've had to re-buy them. And she knows every fact, stuff that I can't even remember.
Yeah, she's at the trivia night.
She is at the Harry Potter trivia night, and she says, you know, half the plot doesn't make sense, but I don't care. I love it.
Yeah, and I know. And there's always stuff that's problematic. But at that time, and even then, I mean, my girls love it too. I just thought, wow, this is awesome.
I just would love to know, did she have the beginning from the end? Did she know about the Horcruxes?
Surely not.
Did she know that, yeah, it was so good.
I know. So clever.
And I must admit, I had some other friends who also went to church and they got into it as well. So we sort of had like a secret Harry Potter club.
Yeah.
Anyway, they have pride of place on our bookcase.
I am a fan of pop culture. So if something's really popular, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
50 Shades of Grey, baby.
I forgot about
Mandy
that.
Mandy and I.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
It was you and I, wasn't it?
I know. I was telling everyone.
Yeah, and we really got into it. I read those in like an afternoon.
I was down the Inverloch Caravan Park and I just got maybe an iPhone.
Yep.
And I found iBooks.
Yeah.
And it said top chart.
Right.
So I just downloaded it thinking, oh, well, I don't have anything to read while I'm here. So it says the top chart. Like, I literally did not know what it was.
Wow.
And then I just thought, okay, whatever price it was, $7.99 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that
I
was
just bought it because it was top chart.
Yeah.
Okay, this must be good. I was like, what the hell?
What the hell?
I could not put it down. I'm messaging everyone. I'm telling everyone to read it, get my book club onto it.
Everyone
was like, Mandy and her porn.
Well, it's the most ridiculous, problematic book. But that guy, for a woman who was living with chaos, the thought of a man who would come in and sort everything out. Forget the sex, baby. Just make me dinner.
Honestly.
Oh, would you like a wine, Anastasia, while I'm frying up some chicken?
Would I?
Would I?
Don't even worry about the red room.
No.
It just blew my brains out.
Yeah, and we know everything's wrong with that book.
Yeah.
Everything, but oh, my gosh. I mean, I won't reread it.
Oh, we'll never reread it.
No, I don't even, but we really, would I say I enjoyed it? I don't know, but it was amazing.
Yeah,
I was completely sucked in.
And
I couldn't put it down.
I had already been into Outlander, so I'd read
I hadn't.
A lot of those by then.
Yep.
And then I read that she, the author, whatever her name is, 50 Shades Lady, loved Diana Gabaldon.
And Twilight.
So, and
she modelled it off Twilight.
So off both of them. So she was like, women want to read about a man
sexy
that's going to
takes control.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no one's Jamie Fraser, but.
No.
Anyway, so yeah, my sister gave me Cross Stitch, which is that's what it was released here in Australia.
Yeah.
She said, I think you'll like this.
Yeah.
It's set in Scotland.
Oh
and
my
I was
gosh.
Like,
and
I don't
does
know.
Mandy
oh
like
my
it?
Gosh. I was just like, boom. And then anyone I could talk to. I was like, let's
she tried
read
to
these.
Get me to read it for about 2 years.
I mean, they're
I was
not,
like, it sounds.
They're massive.
The plot that she gave me, I thought, this sounds ridiculous. ridiculous. Oh. I'm not into time travel.
Oh, come on.
I thought it was sci-fi.
Yeah, no. Well, it's not. It's a whole.
It's not. There's no genre.
It's just a mishmash of genre.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
And obviously, the TV show now.
If you haven't watched Outlander, if you can't read the books, that's fine.
At least watch season one, except the last two episodes are pretty hard for some people.
Yes,
okay?
They are. Well, just watch the first four episodes.
Just get to know Jamie Fraser.
He's
the king of men.
My cousin Amy will often just send me like a little Snapchat. I'm just settling down with a bit of Jamie again. She's been watching it for years as well. She's like, oh, bears repeating.
What I loved about it is because my grandma was Scottish and then all these things would come back in the books and I'd be like, that's what grandma used to say.
Yes. And so they're very Scottish.
Yeah, I felt this connection.
It's beautiful. I love everything Celtic. And it's just an escape and that's what books are.
I know.
So I went through all of those I hate the word chick lit.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a stupid. I think it's just.
You
know the ones you pick up at the airport?
Marion Keys.
Yeah, Marion Keys.
Yeah.
I loved
all hers.
And I didn't read much after I had the boys. But if we ever went away for a weekend or I went on a plane, I can read a book on a 3-hour plane trip.
Can you?
You're
a speed reader.
I'm a speed reader. Yeah, it is one of my superpowers. So just that freedom of knowing no one can talk to me and I can read a book. That is my absolute
fantasy.
Did you
read The Bronze Horseman?
No.
Oh. So that was set in Russia in the, it's Alexander and what was her name, Bella, I think.
Okay.
And there's this scene where they're in a tent and it's just like, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, so our whole book club read that. Now,
right.
I've been in a book club for 19 years.
Yes, you
We're
have.
So proud of ourselves.
Yes.
We're nearly up to 20 years. So we started off by calling ourselves the Chicks of North Fitzroy because we met there and then we moved to the Ladies of the Red Tent.
Right.
Have you read The Red Tent?
Yes, I've read The Red Tent.
That book changed all of our lives.
Yes,
we were like, we need to go and have a period in a red tent.
I know.
It's a set back in like biblical times.
Yeah.
And it talks about when the women had their periods, they would go and rest.
Yes, it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. Go and rest for
3 days
while you bleed.
Camp.
They get to leave all everything and rest.
But I reckon they had to take their kids, really.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I do. There's no.
I was like, give me that red tent.
But I'll even take the kids.
I was just like, we have missed this meaning.
Oh, we really
have. And this is the time when my whole book club, we've got friends who are naturopaths and we were talking about natural fertility, so we read a lot of books about that, hence twins.
Yep.
One of my friends coined the terms, I need to bleed on it before
I
make a decision.
That.
And so I now think about that.
Yes.
I'm a spontaneous lady. But if there's a big decision.
Which you probably don't believe, but she is.
I'm very or impulsive is probably the word. So my friend Lisa would say, I've got to bleed on it. And that meant that she would take the whole month to think of something so that she could go through all her emotions.
Yeah, you don't want
and
the
I was like, you don't
euphoric
want extroverted ovulating Mandy going, let's make a podcast.
Yeah,
and then you've got premenstrual Mandy going,
I'm not capable of anything. I'm useless. So just get me a wheat bag.
I'll try to
bleed
on decisions, but sometimes I don't. But anyway, The Bronze Horseman, back to that one. That's like a trilogy.
Yeah.
And
okay.
That I just never knew about Life and Times in Russia.
No, me either.
I have terrible recall for books as well. So
do
this
I.
is not going to be a scholarly.
I have terrible
this is no
recall.
Lee and Annabelle.
No, I can start reading the book again and go, I love this. How did it finish?
Well,
and I can reread it. You know, sorry.
We
yes,
went to
no
see
Lee
The Dry,
Annabelle.
My friend Charlotte and I. We were like, we read this. Do you
can't
know what
remember
happens?
It. I know.
The movies and we were like, this is amazing. We can't remember what happened. And at the end, we were like, do you remember that?
And I know.
Like,
and sometimes it's not the same.
Yeah, well, it was.
You know,
anyway,
like the girl on the train and I read all them like, the movie's wrong.
The Dragon Tattoo. That was awesome.
I read that in book club.
Yeah, so good.
And that was another book that I was like, this is not my genre.
No,
but I
was into it.
Really into it. Yeah, strong women characters.
Did you read Chicken Soup for the Soul?
Oh, Mandy, yes. I had so many of them.
Me too. Chicken Soup for the Christian soul.
Oh,
chicken soup for the woman's soul.
Yeah, Chicken Soup for the mother's soul. Chicken Soup for the teacher's
soul.
Abort Darren
for the sporting person's soul.
Oh, so many.
Oh, that was my first experience of reading sort of
short stories.
Short,
same.
True stories.
Mine.
I loved them.
But that was at the time when I was doing a lot of writing for religious magazines.
Right.
So I think it just really opened up my eyes to like, I can just write
short stories. Yeah, we should
have
thought of that.
You know. we should have. Next book. But I loved all my chicken soups.
And I also loved Oprah's book club. So when yes, Oprah was out.
If there was a sticker on it.
If there was a sticker, I bought it.
Yeah, I was pretty
so
much
So you
like
go
that.
Back through that catalogue, I've read them all.
Yep, okay.
I was just like, yeah, well, you know, I was just like, I'm buying those.
Yeah, yeah, you love Oprah.
Yeah, I loved Oprah.
Yep.
Of course, I still love her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But and one of those ones was the Poisonwood Bible. Did you read that?
No.
So that was about a missionary couple that moved to the Congo, I think, with four children. And they had twin girls and one twin had a disability. And I read it before I had my girls and then I read it again and I was like, one of those twins has cerebral palsy.
Wow.
Because she was limping and then, oh, she didn't walk for a long time.
Ah.
And I was reading it through totally different eyes,
yes.
crying and – basically, this, you know, it's fiction, but this
yes.
minister drags the wife, the four kids, and off they go to live in Africa. And be like,
yeah,
my gosh.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you would really like
I
it.
I would. Yeah. I would read it.
Okay, so yep. we should maybe share some other people's books
yes.
because we could just go on and on
yep.
and on.
Yeah, and then we'll talk will. To you about books that we've loved.
Yeah,
as,
so I we
post P parents.
I went back to the Brains Trust and just asked them and said, you know, thank you, you're always so helpful. So I'll just read this one. Hi everyone, this one immediately sprang to mind, written by an Aussie psychologist, and it's called Hey Warrior. So the book is good. It explains anxiety in a physiological way and refers okay. to the anxiety center of your brain. Oh. The clever little, oh, I'm not going to say it right, amygdala yep. as your warrior really helped my guy understand anxiety is okay, normal and can be managed.
Ah.
So that was Hey Warrior.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, heysigmund.com is her website.
Right.
Okay. Hey Warrior. The Warrior book was great for my daughter when she was born, the hospital social worker. I asked a hospital social worker for a book to read with her four-year-old brother. My daughter was about 6 weeks old, still in hospital with a very new diagnosis of HIE and the corresponding, we think, she'll have CP. This woman gave me a book called Special or something like that about a kid who could still play with her friends while using a wheelchair. I was floored and sad and worried. I had no idea what her future would look like when this woman shoved a very confronting picture in my face.
Yeah.
What you probably needed was a book about my sisters in NICU.
Yes, that's right. Right? That's all you need.
That's what he needed at the time.
Yeah, that's
not,
right.
Yeah.
No, you can't. And because no one's – it's just a picture. It doesn't mean it's your reality. So.
No, and this is what I asked people too. I was like, do people give you unhelpful books? People love to throw books at you at
oh,
the time of diagnosis. So.
Oh, the amount of – I have got piles of books on ADHD and
– people love to give them to
autism
you.
Yeah. And let me tell you, lots of them are just piles of shit. The research is 40 years old.
Yeah.
And oh, so many people gave me, oh, there's a book this woman does about not eating food coloring and sugar. Oh, like three people gave it to me. Why
yeah.
can't I remember?
Yep.
Sue, somebody wrote it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But that book, I was like, don't give me this book again.
Yeah.
Because it's a load of shit.
Yeah. Interesting.
Anyway. Yep.
We have a great book called The Worry Monster, which has been helpful for our pea shoot. Also, the Sometimes I Feel series written by Samantha Seymour. They have photographs, not illustrations, and we found them to be really helpful. I need to find a decent book about epilepsy if anyone can recommend one.
Okay.
These books were awesome for my son when working on social skills around kinder age. Our copies are so worn and well read.
Oh.
And also the Trace Moraney When I'm Feeling books are awesome. And the No Such Thing as a Silly Question is an yep. awesome resource for parents starting out. Or Getting Along with Others by Jenny Feely. That's her one that she talked about, social okay. stories. Okay, and the next one was we have found this one very helpful and it's called The Growing Up Book for Boys and there's a corresponding one for girls on the spectrum as well. Hi, two books for sensory issues, Ben's School Days by Robin Sims and Joanne Larkham, Things That Go Bump in the Day, Jenny Reid. Also, Royal Children's has great books and I brought one on CP but can't find it, plus Special Boys Business, Heather Anderson on Puberty for Special Needs Kids. Mm. Have a girl one too. I have that one. And I bought it for Molly, the special girls
yep, yep.
business. It's got beautiful illustrations of periods
yes.
and pads. So,
yes.
but my, I think we need to have an upgrade to that book to
yes.
talk about period undies.
Yes, we do.
Because, you know.
That's what everyone's wearing.
Most of my kids'
yep.
friends with teenagers with their periods are using.
Oh, yeah.
They're not using pads.
No, thank
so
God.
So there needs to be an upgrade in that book, whoever's
yep.
written that one.
Yep.
Because automatically I was like, eh.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, and I love the boys one that has a double page on don't masturbate in public. but too much for mum.
That's an awesome, awesome. That's good. Don't masturbate in public.
Yeah, well, yep. It's, you know, it's, these things have to be spelled out.
Yes.
Yes, for our children with IDs, some of them. Do we want to play the speak pipe?
Yes. Yeah, so we've got a lot of you, of course, said far from the tree.
Yeah.
So we've got a speak pipe from our beautiful Marnie and she's going to talk
I
about
read
it.
That book after the girl's diagnosis. It's a huge book. We had it on for our book club and I bought it on my phone. I read the whole book on my
phone.
Yeah, because I was going through an iBooks phase because they're cheaper than buying them.
Oh, they are, but it's just that's a big book to read on your
phone. I read the whole thing on my phone. Wow. I don't know how long it took me, but I could not put it down.
A lot of page turning.
And remember Melanie said she wanted to write, Melanie Dimmitt said she wrote special as the user-friendly far from the tree.
Yeah, and we've specials on all of our list to talk about. We'll talk
that's
about it.
Right, of course. So we got a beautiful speak pipe from Marnie, who's one of our gorgeous hangout members and going to be a guest this year too.
Yes, can't wait
and
to talk to her.
And she's coming on the speak pipe all the way from Scotland.
Yes.
So we're going to, you're going to listen to her and we're not going to comment over the top of it. So listen to Marnie. And then we'll come back.
Yep. And I know lots of you will love this book.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Mandy. It's Marnie here. I am speak piping in from the Scottish borders where I live. You can probably hear, sadly, that I don't have a lovely Scottish accent. Not yet. I'm working on it. But I'm from Melbourne originally and have ended up in Scotland with my pea and my husband. And we're in what feels like eternal lockdown here, but we are some of the lucky ones. We've got a really beautiful spot very close to the River Tweed, and we just feel so lucky to be in a beautiful place with lots of beautiful beautiful land around us. I saw your call out on Facebook about doing a book episode, and I thought I would do you a little speak pipe about my book. So books are a huge part of my life. My husband is an author. My pea shoot, who is six, is a voracious reader, and we've worked really, really, really hard on that. She's profoundly deaf, and literacy is really tricky for a lot of deaf children. So books are very important, but this story, this little tale, is about probably the most influential book of my life and certainly the most influential book of my parenting life. It's called Far From the Tree, and it's by Andrew Solomon, who's an American journalist and writer. I read it while I was pregnant, which I probably wouldn't recommend, but it is about parenting. It's off as a news article that Solomon wrote. He went to Gallaudet University. Well, he didn't study there. He visited there to report on a really important political event, I guess, a campaign about getting a deaf president for Gallaudet University. Gallaudet is a private university in America for deaf people. So it's the language there is American Sign Language. So that kind of got him interested in deaf identity. And the first chapter in the book is about deaf identity and about the part that really struck me, and I was reading this, mind you, I was reading this before I knew that my daughter, who's now six, would be born profoundly deaf. So what really struck me about this part of this chapter on the book was a realization that parenting is much sooner than I had thought about letting go of your own expectations of that child and your own I guess, projections of what identity is and what it should be. So I think the most powerful, I wish I could pull the book out and read you a bit, but the most powerful thing to me in that chapter was a section where Solomon talks about giving over your deaf child to the deaf community and being okay with that, and understanding that there are adults out there who, by way of their experience in that identity of deafness and their membership of that community, those adults are in some cases going to be better placed to guide your child in certain areas than you are as the parent. And it made me realize, when I did find out that my daughter was deaf, it made me realize that she needed deaf adults. She needed to be around deaf adults, and that was my huge priority in the early years of her life. And I appreciate that so much, and I recommend the book to everyone. See you later.
And I know this book made a huge impact on Mandy.
Oh, it was enormous. Yeah. I mean, there were so many different chapters. It was just the first book I'd ever read talking about parenting, people who felt far from the norm.
Yeah, it's right? just.
And there were so many different scenarios. Yeah. There was the parents of one of the boys who were in the Columbine shooting.
Yes.
There was a story of the people that had a child that they just with a profound disability, they decided to stunt her growth and not go through puberty so that she was easier to hold and carry. Mm. Then there was a whole court case about that. And the deaf community I'd never read anything about that, and we have people in my family that are deaf. Just so many different, and I was like, I feel far from the tree. Yeah. That is true.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's such a clever title.
He speaks about his childhood.
Yes.
And the way he felt different to his parents. And it's a big, big read, but most people who have read it, I would say it's life-changing as how I felt towards it.
And I think a lot of people, when we said, what book?
Yes, they all said it. Yeah. The next one that I read was called The Reality Slap, and that was, I'm sure I've spoken about it before. My friend Helena gave it to me. It was when all our girls were around 7, and it was just like, accepting that they are what they are. And I suppose we just come out of early intervention and all that, trying to make sure that we were doing everything we could for their bodies, and then just hitting 7 and realizing, okay, this is who they are.
Yeah.
Right? And I know that sounds weird, but it was a really big time of acceptance.
Yep.
And I just felt like it was a moment at 7.
Yes, beautiful.
And so he just talks about, whether you've gone through a flood or a fire or a terminal illness or a child having a diagnosis or something.
Yeah.
Your life might have been charmed until then, and then you've had a slap from reality.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was, I think I didn't finish reading the whole thing.
No, you just choose the bits.
Yeah. The thing that was funny was that I lost it for a while, and then I found it because someone had put it in the backyard and snails had eaten all the way through it. And Helena had written to Mandy from Helena, and then there was all the snails, and I was like, well, that's a reality slap. That's my family. But that was one. And another thing that happened to me, that when the girls were little, is I went and did a 2-day course with the CAE, Centre of Adult Education, about writing a children's book, because I was going to write a book about having twins with AFOs.
Yes.
So I go there. It's the first time I sort of gone into the city for 2 days. Yeah. I was so excited.
Yep.
There's probably 20 people in the room, and there's an author. And she's like, can you all go around the room and talk about the ideas for your books? And I was at the end. So she started at the other end, and they're like, well, it's about a dog. Yeah. And he goes for a walk, and then there's a calamity. And okay, great. Next person. Well, it's about a dog. And, and it just basically
really?
Everyone – and then everyone was like about an animal or something. Uh-uh. And then it gets to me. Oh, hi. Like, I'm going to write a book about twins that have cerebral palsy, and they both have an AFO, which is an ankle foot orthotic on each leg, and they go to kinder and nobody else has them. And she's like, okay. I was like, I have a book idea.
Yeah, and
you
this
people
is a
are all
really
just writing about dogs.
Yep. This is a real book.
Yes, but obviously I didn't do it. But I had all the notes might. And, you know, I just, well, there's lots more books now than there was 16 years ago
Yep.
So, but I just felt like there was nothing that I could give my girls to read.
I know.
Oh.
Yep.
And even just one AFO. Most of the picture books are for children with two AFOs.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah. And just the uniqueness of my twins. Yeah. Everywhere I went, I felt like I needed to write a book about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I did and didn't do.
Yeah. Look, you came close.
I came close.
Yeah.
I came close.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Spring, is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the new Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's ALLBIRDS.com, code SUPER24.
Mandy asked in the two-piece hangout, and so we're going to offer some of your suggestions of what books that you thought were good or that have impacted your life as a pea parent.
Yes. So. The first one was A Friend Like Henry, and that was from Gorgeous Jasmine.
Mm.
The Explosive Child is on the list to read. And someone said Ross Green has another book called Raising Human Beings. It's also very good.
Mm. And there's The Hidden Diffability, a book on autism with lots of family stories from birth to school. I haven't read these books, or I've read some of them and not all of them, so I don't want to make a comment. And I know that books are really personal,
right?
And so I might get something out of it and someone else may not like it. So please
that's
don't come
absolute
at us.
Truth. That's right? right.
So these are just books that have helped some people.
Yes, that's right. I also read Raising a Rare Girl by Heather Lanier recently and really enjoyed it. That was from Lauren.
Mm.
And, of course, Special by Melanie
Special.
Dennett.
I mean, how can we not?
We've, I know.
You
we
can go and
to
listen to our
special
episode, which was 2 years ago at some
point.
Yes. You know, Mandy and I, fangirl Melanie, we went to her book launch. It's the most divine book.
Oh.
It's just it's perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah, everything about it's perfect, and you know we love it. We probably hardly go a week without talking about it. So I hope you've all got it.
She did such a great job.
Such a good job. She's so smart.
It's Okay to Be Different, a children's picture book, a very affirming book.
Mm. The Invisible String.
Yeah.
Mandy I've loves
that
The Invisible
one.
String.
Yeah.
And it is it's good to sort of help ease anxiety.
Hmm.
So, which we
so
all
I would
have.
Just say, you know, my heart's connected to yours through the string and you can tug on it.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of variations. Some people draw on their palms of their children's hands. Some people put
something in the pocket.
Something in their pocket. Yep. There's all sorts of things. So, but that's got twins in that book. So
yes,
I like that.
It's always nice. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter likes Kathy Hoopman's photo books. All cats are on the autism spectrum. All dogs have ADHD and all birds have anxiety. And my son likes a picture book just right for you, a story about autism, because it talks about lining things up like he enjoys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is my favourite junior fiction book with an autistic protagonist is A Boy Called Bat. It's a sweet, quiet story about a boy who looks after a skunk kit, deals with friendship and transience.
Mm.
And I know there's a whole lot of talking about whether you're allowed to have fiction or not with, but I think it sounds like a really cool book.
And when I need to remember how wondrous neurodivergent thinking can be, I reach for Prudence and her amazing adventure. The protagonist has what seems to me to be ADHD traits, and while she's supposed to be putting on her shoes, her mind is creating something wonderful.
Beautiful.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Then Plan B by Sheryl Sandberg, I might have the name wrong, was confronting but good, based on when Plan A gets ripped out from under you and it's time to create
yes, because her husband died.
Her husband died.
Yeah, that's right.
Very unexpectedly.
Yeah, I haven't read that. Crash, Rumble and Roll to help us through massive fear of thunderstorms. Mm. Took 4 years and it's still 2 years later on his bedside table. And the When I'm Feeling series. So that's by Trace Moroney. It's got When I'm Feeling Angry, When I'm Feeling Sad.
Yes, they're awesome.
And I always use the bedtime book in that series.
Yes, yes.
Until I can write my own bedtime book for twins jumping around all night in a book, which I'll write that one too one day.
Really better.
I know. I feel like I really want to write my own book about bedtime. But I always suggest that one.
He's Not Naughty by Deborah Bronson. We used it to explain to my son his ASD diagnosis. It made me cry as we turned each page. And he exclaimed, "That happens to me."
Mm.
It helped him realize he's not so alone. He proudly shows it off now. Highly recommended. Yay for embracing who we are.
Yep. And let's just throw in there, of course, Nellie Thomas's Some Brains. I've got
that. Some Brains, Some Boys, some girls. But Some Brains. It's a game changer. I know we've talked about it before, but I cried and cried.
Oh, yep. I cried. It just took your breath away.
It really, really did. It's a beautiful, beautiful book.
And my girls were just like, wow.
Yeah, it's just everybody, it should be in every library. We've said it before.
The Don't Worry book by Todd Parr is great for dealing with anxiety. Also, Child's Play had a great book about going to hospital and others in the series about going to the dentist, school, which were great for familiarising kids with anxiety-inducing situations. I remember getting The Little Princess, you know. She's a little princess. Do you remember that?
No.
ABC. Well, those funny books about little princess wants her potty and that. And I remember just before we had the girl's surgery, I said to Mum, please just see if you can find a book about hospital. And there was A Little Princess Goes to Hospital.
Awesome.
I remember getting that.
The Awesome Autistic Go-To Guide for Tweens and Early Teens by Tanya Masterman and Ian Perkis, and Hey Awesome by Karen Young. Yeah.
I just loved reading This Is the Bear, Some Dogs Do, Big Red Bath and Tiddler, a few of my faves. My daughter is a Stephen Hawking wannabe, so is a fan of A Brief History of Time. Mm. We have also loved reading the Australian Girls series together, such lovely and accurate Aussie histories from various times. I love the Australian Girls books. I've read them pretty much all to Miss Ten.
Yeah, I haven't read them. Oh, I think
they're just gorgeous.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely Millie read them.
Okay.
And then but Miss Ten's, we've really got into them. And I think we started it when the pandemic started.
Yeah, I think you were doing it in lockdown.
Yeah, because we were like, well, it's not as bad as 1838 when Grace had to leave England and come on a boat and be a maid.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're lovely. We're reading Nellie at the moment and she's in Adelaide.
Ah.
So, yeah, really good.
And Viv said, The Little Book of First Experiences. Mm. Mm. So she really likes it. She's taken a photo.
And going to the hospital.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Oh, there it is. Yep.
I've used this book before they went into hospital to have grommets put in. First Experiences going to the hospital.
Oh, yep, from Usborne. Yep. Okay. Piranhas Don't Eat Bananas. Not super relevant apart from encouraging piranhas to be what they want to be.
Yeah.
And also because piranhas called Brian are just funny and they talk about piranhas eating bums. Funny books are our favourites in our house. Oh, yes. Yep. Oh, my goodness me.
Absolutely. We read
Dr. Dog. That's one of the ones that made our family laugh so much. It's like, don't pick your nose and stick it up your bum.
So funny.
And he goes on a holiday. He's so stressed by the family. The Gumball family. They're just out of control.
Dr. Dog. Loved it. And we read Buzz
Don't
and
suck
Woody.
Your thumb and scratch your bum.
Yeah. Which is still good advice.
Yeah, it is.
I reckon for 18 months, maybe 2 years, we read Where the Wild Things Are.
Yes.
Every night. Yes. And I've said it before on this podcast, but I'd love that's what I'd like the sign at the front of my house to say, Where the Wild Things Are.
True. Mm. More votes for special, more votes for The Invisible String.
Yep.
Joanna Basford Colouring Books. She's a Scottish artist and a mum to two young girls. They're in lockdown too over here. And she does live streams 4 times a week where she just chats and draws.
Oh.
And her accent is lovely.
Ah.
Pride and Prejudice, can't go past that one.
Pride and Prejudice is my top book.
Books by Kira Cass, a selection series, great for escaping. Pages and Co., a 3-book series for kids where the main character, Tilly, lives in a bookshop her grandparents run and finds she has the ability to have characters from the books come into her world to see her, and she can also go into the books. And There's the Mystery of Her Missing Mum, ends happily. Has a Harry Potter feel but suitable for a younger reader.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
My Brother Otto, it's a gorgeous children's book about a brother and a sister. The brother uses AAC to communicate, has sensory preferences, etc., but it's all just told as a story about the two of them and their family and how special he is. Not preachy at all. Doesn't actually mention autism or neurodiversity. It's just woven into the story.
Oh, they're the best ones,
yeah, they are. Yep.
I wanted to give a shout out to Grace Kavanagh and her son, James Kavanagh, and they've written a book called James's Trip to the Zoo, The Adventures of James as He Ventures Outside His Home and Connects with People and Animals. So I bought the book because I just wanted to support a P.
Yep.
And she said, "Dear Mandy, thank you so very much for your support. I haven't sold a book for a few weeks, so I'm very excited."
Yay.
So it's a picture book about her, and it's inspired by her son and her other two children.
We'll put it in on our story.
Yeah, so we'll put it on the story. Yep. So gorgeous. I was thrilled to support people, of course, because that's the sort of book I wanted to write.
Absolutely.
Right?
So, and speaking good on of you. That, Valerie Foley, who we all know and love in The Hangout.
Yes.
She has written a book and she says, "Mine, but seriously, not because I wrote it, because it contains the experiences of 100 parents around the world raising a child with autism. And it's called Autism Experience, International Perspectives on Autism Parenting. And you can get it on Amazon." So
I think we better buy that.
Yeah,
too.
Just pause that,
write
down.
Write that down.
Yep.
Amazing. 100 different stories.
100, yes. So I'll definitely.
That would be incredible.
I'm really sorry, Valerie, because
I didn't know that either. I'm sorry, Valerie.
We know about the toothpaste dispensers and lots of other things, but I didn't know about the book.
Bugger the kids. Sometimes life needs to be about us, I reckon. My ultimate favourite book, Michelle Obama Becoming. I love that too. The audiobook is read by Michelle. Absolutely highly recommend it. Yeah, that was so good.
And, of course, Dylan's book, Able.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I love that book. We've got two copies in this house, so, yeah, that's a really good book. And The Miracle of Love by Ondine Sherman. So,
yes, we love that one too. Yes. About a Girl by Rebecca Robertson. Yes, of course.
Yes.
We read that. We talked about that.
Yeah, loved it.
And we would love to have her on the podcast too. And The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson.
I'm always wary of these books.
But
I have got that on my bookshelf. And then when we were doing the A Strain of the Year Zoom, I took it off.
Oh, did you?
Because I don't want that to be in the background. Yep.
The Feminist Fight Club by Jessica Bennett, The Care and Keeping of You by American Girl Company, and Sarah's Key by Tatiana DeRosne.
Don't know what they're about.
No, I don't.
Wonder is probably one of my favourite books
course.
And movies. I find it so relevant to my own life. Being about a boy struggling with a facial deformity is so true. Some of the conversations the mum is having with Augie when trying to console him after being bullied are like some of the same conversations I've had with my mum at times in my own life. The parts where he was crying and saying he is ugly and she is saying, "You're not ugly, you are handsome." Oh. That's exactly what my mum has said to me. It's just the best book for so many reasons. Everyone should read it and learn how to be better people from it.
Oh, goodness. Yep. That book, I remember Millie reading it in grade 5 and she came home and said, "You have to read this, mum. You have to read this. You have to read it." And I was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
she was right.
She was right. I couldn't put it down. And then the movie, goodness.
The next book's very cute.
When My Veronica Went to Melbourne from Hobart for Surgery, this was the best book. A book full of pictures and stories from her whole class at school. They gave it to us the last day of school before she left. It was over 2 terms before she got back to school. Makes me want to cry.
And it's a beautiful
best wishes for your surgery, Veronica. We will miss you from Prep 1G. Could you get any better?
That is a peacher right
That's
there.
That's a peacher. Make me howl.
Yep.
I remember our prep peacher came in with gifts and drawings and came and sat in that hospital room between the two girls. I'll never forget it.
No, you're awesome people, teachers.
Yes,
awesome.
Yes.
We have loved children's books by Sarah Garland. Beautiful illustrations, really simple stories about being in the garden with a family, etc. And our speech therapists use them extensively.
My gorgeous neurodiverse son loves Dav Pilkey books because he invented Captain Underpants in the hallway of school after always being kicked out of class for being neurodivergent.
Yes.
Yes, Captain Underpants, of course. I just can't really watch those. I just think, what the heck is going on here?
It's not for you.
It's not for me. That's right.
And this beautiful mum says that her son's school made a book for her son starting school with all the guidelines, teachers, where to eat and play. Simple text and photos on every page. See, schools, look at what you can do.
Yes,
beautiful,
with
beautiful things.
That helps a mum so much.
Yep.
That should be in every school.
It really,
this
really should be in every school.
This is where the office is. Oh. This is where the sick bay is.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Well done. Beautiful school. I really enjoyed Uniquely Human by Barry Prizant. Such an insightful read and really helped me understand ASD. And someone said, I really like this too.
And The Gift of Dyslexia, which I hadn't actually heard of, so I might have to give that a look. Hey Warrior and Hey Awesome are both great by Karen Young.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and Polly and Buster books.
Yes.
And, yeah, the Hey Sigmund books.
Yep, yep. Yep.
Having a 15-year-old male pea shoot going through puberty, I've really appreciated Special Boy's business. Mm, yeah, definitely. Yep. He will bring out the book to ask questions when he's experiencing new changes. Mm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, The Explosive Child again.
Yep.
First book I'm going to mention is one that I'm reading called I Can Write by Jonathan Byrne. Jonathan is 12 years old. He has cerebral palsy and communicates via an alphabet grid. His entire book was written this way. Jonathan reminded me of a huge amount of a boy I helped out in high school who had atypical locked-in syndrome, in that both were trapped in a silent world until something gave them the chance to show they could communicate and were developmentally normal on the inside. Mm. Jonathan writes really beautifully given he is so young, and it's an amazing insight into his world. And it's I as an EYE.
Yeah, EYE.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, awesome, 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 awesome. And this person says, my favourite author for kids is Mo Williams. Oh. Such an easy read, funny, and lots of body language to interpret. The pigeon has to go to school.
I bought that book, and I think I was going to read it at our live show.
Yeah, I think you were.
Yeah. Yep. And also, we love, are you coming to, we are coming to a party. Oh, that was the first book Millie could recite.
Yes.
Just so funny.
Going on a bear hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Going to catch a big
but
one.
But this Mo William, funny, because I think it was part of Sesame Street or something.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah. Skalagrig by William Horwood. Skalagrig? I don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry.
Oh, I'll not love you forever.
Oh.
P. Briney.
Love you forever.
I can't. I just can't. Do you remember Kate Langbrook reading it on the radio?
Yeah, and everyone had to ring in and say how they sang it.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Because I sing
just
it.
Just howling.
Oh. Yeah, and he wrote it because his child had died. That's why.
Yeah. Oh, and Briney's put here. Some Brains, which we talked about. I read this at Kate's at Christmas and it made me so emotional, as well as some boys and some girls. I heard the author is not a bad chick.
She's all right. Marnie said you'll send the speak pipe, which she did.
Yep.
Andy Hoddle was different from other boys. He never really understood the game they played, in which they owned the factories, the library and the police station in their town. But he longed to tell them he owned something too. So it's called I Own a Racecourse. Mm. I Own the Racecourse. Then he met an old tramp and paid him $3 for Beecham Park Racecourse. Yep. So you can have a look at that one.
Yep.
My son loves Gus the Asparagus, introduced neurodiversity to six-year-olds.
I just like the idea of Gus the Asparagus, any vegetable with a name.
It's like the VeggieTales, but, you know.
There's lots of books. There's lots. We probably can't read all of them out, even though we love them, because we know that it might not be that interesting for you to just listen to Mandy and I recite books.
Yeah,
But like books about baby sign language,
yes,
really important.
Of course.
Books about conscious parenting, like thinking about how you're doing it, they were really popular. So there were loads and loads of books that are on the list. If you're in the Hangout, you can look at it. And I think we'll pin it and you can just keep adding to it and you can say why those books meant something to you. I wanted to say that a book that really hit me in the feels over the last few years was Any Ordinary Day by Lee Sales.
Yes, of course.
And obviously, you know, we're massive Lee and Annabelle fans, and this they would have just discussed one book and gone into great detail and you all would have bought it. Instead, we've given you 400 books in no detail and hence why their podcast
That's
is at the top of the
are.
Charts. Yep.
That's who we are.
But Any Ordinary Day, I don't know, have you read it, Pease?
I read it in like one day.
So did I. I read it. I cried the whole way through it and then I want everyone I know to read it. It was just one of those books. I've given it to a lot of people. So I wanted to talk about this beautiful book called Mum Life. Mm. So it's by Paula Kidd it's by Paula Kuka. I think that's how you pronounce her name. I'm not sure. But she's the creator of Common_Wild.
Yeah.
So I'm sure lots of you follow her on Insta and Facebook.
Amazing
this
illustrations.
This book is unbelievable. Like I kept it beside my bed. I said to Manny, and I just read it a little bit every few days. And oh, it's just beautiful. She was the one that did that reinterpretation of the Looney cartoon. If you live in Australia, you may know what we're talking about, where he sort of put women down for being on their phones.
Yeah.
When they were parenting young children. Anyway, it's a beautiful book. She is a really beautiful supporter of the Peas.
She is. She loves us.
And she always messages with little encouragements, made sure we were going all right during the first and second lockdown. And it's really pretty.
It is very pretty. And her artwork's amazing. And she's just poignant and she nails everything.
And you can actually get her to draw portraits of your family.
Yes, you can.
And yeah, so she's apparently a landscape architect.
Right.
So there you go. But yes, it's just nothing will resonate with you like this book.
Yes.
I think every mother should have
this
little
book.
Go and buy it.
Or get it as a gift for someone who's just had a baby.
Great gift. So,
or in the thick of toddler land.
Yep, I really, really love it. So, and there's obviously this new book that's come out. I haven't had a chance to read it all. Mandy's bought it, so I'm just going to read it from her, Growing Up Disabled in Australia. What were your favourite chapters, Mandy?
Oh, my goodness me. I just could not put this book down. So a few people mentioned it in the Hangout.
Mm.
So I've been reading it. I've read it to Molly. I've read some of the chapters to her, particularly the chapter on Isis Holt, who is a 19-year-old with cerebral palsy who's a Paralympian. And my girls know her and follow her.
Yep.
I can't say all the people because there's 40 authors.
Yeah. So just get it and read it.
So
and you can read it as individual chapters,
yes,
can't you?
Yes, you can. Yep. And so it's short stories. And all the people in the book have a disability or live with a chronic illness or something.
Yes.
So,
but some of it's really funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
And some of it's...
Oh, gosh. I was laughing and then crying. And then I suppose for me, I'm listening to the way people are talking about their parents.
Yes. Because we.
And that really is what resonates to me. And thinking about, okay, how did that person see their parent?
What's a better way of being a parent?
Yeah,
which
how can
we're
I
always
learn?
Yearning for.
That's what I'm always trying to learn from. So, goodness me. Great.
Okay. Yeah, great. And I'm sure most of you have probably already bought it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, feel free to put your favourite stories about that in the Hangout.
Yeah,
or tell
definitely.
Us.
Go for it.
A couple of other books I wanted to mention was one that had an amazing impact on my life was Alfie Kohn, Punished by Rewards, and it talks about schooling. Alfie Kohn has amazing books about schooling, and you all know how I feel about awards and rewards. Yep. So his books are, I mean, they're heavy going, but they're amazing. I love them. I've got them all. And a book that had an amazing impact on my life, which is going to probably sound weird, is a book called What's So Amazing About Grace by Philip Yancey.
Man, my mum reads that.
Yeah. So the premise of this book is that there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. And I think growing up I didn't grasp that. I thought that I needed to obey a certain number of rules to be loved and to get to heaven. And therefore I sort of thought – because, you know, when you grow up in a church, it's like Jesus is like your parents. He loves you more than your parents. So there was all these things that you need to do to make people love you. And that book blew everything out of the water for me. It changed my whole life. I think I've talked about it before on the podcast. It was a game changer for me. It was a game changer for me as a parent because I realized I could just say to my kids, nothing you can do. I will always love you like this. Like, you are mine. I love you. I give you my 100% support. That was, I don't know, it was just such a profound, profound book for me. I've still got a copy of it, even though I haven't reread it, but it's just, I don't know, the thought that if you've grown up thinking if I do something wrong, I could be struck by lightning to, I just love you for who you are, which is really what we want as parents, our kids to know. We love you for who you are.
That's right.
You don't have to be anything different.
You don't.
And I think, that book just changed the whole trajectory of my life. So even though it's probably not a book most of you will read.
Maybe there wasn't a chapter on swearing in there for Mum.
I don't think there was.
She definitely read it though.
I don't believe he swears at all. So maybe, you know, we could add to it.
Okay.
You know.
An abridged version.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the other one I read last year was called Searching for Sunday, and it's by Rachel Held Evans. Now, she was an author in America, and she's talked about leaving the church, and she died
really
unexpectedly.
Yeah.
So just reading that, I never knew that there was a book talking about leaving the church.
Yes.
And just even in the basic things like, okay, so I left the church and then I realized, who's going to bring me lasagna?
Yeah.
You know, and I was like,
Yes.
But she talks a lot about deconstructing and then reconstructing.
Yep.
Okay. So she's probably what's the best that's out there in talking about it.
Yeah.
And there's blogs and all this in her back catalogue. But what a loss to the world.
Yeah, such a loss.
Yeah.
And she was really young.
She was young. She had two children, I think.
Yeah.
Look, I'm new to her fan club, so yes, there's going to be people that know much more about her than me.
Yeah, but
her book, I couldn't put it down. It sort of intersperses between her telling her truth telling and then sort of biblical stuff. So yes. I was kind of skimming over that because that's not my.
No, but it's still.
Well, I'm not good at theological reading, right? Yeah, so I just wanted to read this is how the I felt. Yep. This is what I was going through.
Yeah.
And that yearning to try and find another church. So it's not just leaving one, but then trying to find another one is sort of more mirrors my story.
Yep.
So, I really appreciated her. Doing some truth telling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also, on a similar vein, read a book called, it's a big title, Shunning Within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's by Nikki Smith. I messaged her so many times that we're now friends on Facebook.
Well, that's how powerful a book is when you feel like so you see yourself in it.
I sobbed reading it. I cried and cried. And it was just, it's all women who have left the church. And for me, oh, gosh, powerful, because I was seen in all of these instances and I was like, yes, I felt like that. I felt like that. And I just thought I was the only person.
Yes, me too.
And that book, I mean, it's very specific to me, but if you want to read it, give it a read because I really, really enjoyed it, like soul-searching enjoyed it.
Mm.
It was similar to when I read Wife Work and the Mask of Motherhood.
Oh, Wife Work?
Wife
Work. Yes.
Bam, bam.
Oh, my sister handed to me the night before the wedding.
Yeah, really? Oh, I liked you, Annalise.
I know, but I said, thanks.
No, she was damn right.
Oh, because she was studying women's studies. She was doing a Bachelor of Arts. So she was like, there you go.
I don't know. Wife work.
I was like, wow.
And I think if you've grown up in a very Christian home.
You just expect that's what you're groomed to do.
You haven't been exposed to feminism.
No.
And that. Book. I know most of you've read it and you've moved on. You're way beyond it, but I bought a secondhand copy. Like I didn't have any money, so it's got like it was from a library. You know, you can buy them for like $2.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, yeah, damn it, I'm not buying the presents
Why
for everyone.
Am I buying the presents for people I don't even know?
Yes.
Mind blowing.
Yeah, it was pretty confronting.
Probably need to read it
me.
Again after the pandemic.
Yeah. Yep. We're all.
We've really got back into wife work.
Really.
Yeah, that was an awesome book, and The Mask of Motherhood.
Yeah, I didn't read that. What was that? Tell me about that.
Well, she's just like has this thing like when you're a mother, you might be living in. I can't remember it all because I'm terrible, but I remember the thing that she said was like hanging at the front door is the mask that you put on when you go out. Like, I'm coping, I'm fine.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're all lying to each other.
Oh, no.
And how damaging it is. Yeah. So I really, really liked The Mask of Motherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's the absolute gosh darn truth.
Yeah. It really.
Although I feel like maybe we've progressed a little bit. Or...
Oh, look, we have.
You think?
I think we have. Well, I have.
Yeah, I have.
And I can't speak for everybody, but I know that the mental load still falls on women.
Oh, of course
so,
it does.
Yeah, we see you, peas, and we support you. I know that's not what this is about, but please know that you've been seen. So before we get on to our cry, laugh, difference, it would be remiss of me to not mention Saturday Afternoon Fever by Matthew Hardy, who most of you know as Live Guy.
The Live P.
It's got, reviews on the back. The one from The Guardian I really like, it just says, excellent.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if The Guardian tells you you're excellent, you're excellent.
Oh, take that.
So, I've got my very own signed
copy
and it says,
wow.
Thank you for making our lives worth recording. Love, Matt.
Oh, goodness.
I know.
I think it says Matthew.
Yeah, because I call him Matt, but it's actually Matthew.
Well, there you go.
And it's, I think, a very cute photo of him and his dad and his
brother on the front. Gorgeous.
So, yeah, it's a cute little book. If you grew up in Melbourne and you watch Cop Shop and Wonder Years, I mean, not Wonder Years.
Simon Townsend's Wonder World.
Yeah, it's all in there. Anyway, that's it, Matt. No
what
more.
About we announce what we've got to announce?
Oh, yeah. Woohoo.
Yes.
Of course. You know, shameless self-promotion, here we
constant.
Come. Constant.
Self-promotion.
Constant and shameless.
Yep.
Mandy and I would like to tell you the title of our book.
Yes.
go on, Mandy, go on.
Okay, so it came from a beautiful P friend of mine, Kylie, who when we first started the podcast, remember the first episode we had all the titles that my friends thought we should call the podcast.
Yep.
And so the book is called The Invisible Life of Us. And so that was Kylie's title. I've checked it with her. She said, go for it and use it.
Yeah. And the cover is beautiful.
Oh, we love it. We love it. And I just need to say that the person who put it up in the Hangout, I'm sorry, I took it down straight away.
Because we weren't sure if we were
allowed to say that the book was out yet.
Yep.
So it is on pre-order.
Yeah, you can pre-order it on Booktopia. But apparently, according to our publisher and the people that work for them that do the, what's it called when you advertise, marketing.
Yeah.
They said like 3 months out is a really good time to sort of start promoting it. But Mandy and I, we can't wait to tell you, so we've told you.
Yeah.
It's coming out on the 2nd of July.
Yeah.
But you can go onto Booktopia and pre-order. Apparently pre-order is hugely important for people who have books coming out. So Mandy and I have no idea what any of those things mean. We're pretty excited to know about rate and review. So this is going to be another steep learning curve.
It really is. And to have our own book, and I'm so proud of it. And I could
so
just cry.
Proud.
And I'm nervous.
Oh,
and
beyond.
I'm, you know, we're just putting out ourselves
we are really
in a different
scared.
Way.
Please be
I
nice
am
to
scared.
Us.
I'm scared we're going to have horrible comments.
I know.
And I suppose they will probably happen.
Of course they will. Yeah, that's all right.
So we're just going to – I'll be back to the psychologist.
But UPs will love us. So, yeah. We know you have our back.
I already told my psychologist
yours.
I'm coming in like for weeks around the book launch. So when there's criticism, she said, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, that
and
is
so
fine.
So she'll just have my back.
Yep, yep.
Because
and
I'm nervous.
The rest of you can message Mandy and tell her how great she is.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I just – I'm proud.
Yeah, let's just
actually,
remember how proud we are.
I'm actually just proud that we
so
sat
proud
still
during that pandemic and we wrote that book.
Yeah, and it's
amazing.
No, it's not going to win, you know.
Oh, no.
Any
it's,
prizes.
It's not a book prize book.
No.
But it's just us.
Yeah, it's just
us talking. So we hope that you're going to love it and we hope that the bees will buy it.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, and it's okay. And you know what? If maybe the pandemic isn't as bad, we'll be able to go to some bookshops. But anyway,
we
who
don't
knows?
Know.
We don't know. We'll probably just be virtually signing your book through an iPad or some rubbish that's brought out because
yeah.
you can't actually meet anybody ever again.
Oh,
anyway,
goodness.
That's okay. We will end on a positive note and say super, super proud of the invisible life of us.
Yeah.
So, it's really cute too.
Yeah, it is cute.
Yeah.
All
Sophie,
the colours we love.
Beautiful.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Thank
Penguin,
you.
They've been really helpful.
Unbelievably supportive, as they have to be.
No, but when I sent it back, I was like, I think I butchered it.
I know. I was like, we're just like, we don't know if we did this right, the edit bit. But anyway, there you go.
Okay.
And then
the
they
best.
Have to go through it all and go, oh,
my God.
Let's make them fix this again.
Oh.
But anyway, by the time you see it, that will be a memory.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. So,
okay. Tell me what made you cry this week.
So what made me cry this week is a beautiful story about that I received on a Snapchat because that's how my friends and I communicate. And a scholarship said to me, do you think you're a vlogger? Because you're always like walking around
know,
the house and videoing yourself talking. I just ignored her and kept walking. But this is beautiful P. Bryony, and she said she was leaving work and she was getting into her car and she noticed a mother struggling with a wheelchair and bags, and this mother was trying to get into a building. And she went over to her and she said, can I help you? And then she said, sorry, I'll let me rephrase that. How can I help you?
Oh.
And she said, the woman said, are you serious?
Yes.
And she said, yes.
Oh.
And she helped that woman to get where she had to go. And she said, that's because of the podcast.
Oh.
That's because I just, anyway. I cried.
Because it made me cry too.
Yep, I really cried. I just think she's a beautiful soul, but she said I wouldn't have done it a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Let's replace can I help you with how can
how
I help
can
you.
I help you?
Yep. Anyway, you made me cry, Bryony. And you know, because I replied back, you're making me cry.
I know, me too.
But beautiful. So that was my cry this week.
Mm. Oh, maybe me too. But I just cried on Friday because of the snap lockdown.
Yep.
And so there's nothing new about that. I've already talked about that on the Snappy. But I did. I just
look,
cried.
We could be back in a snap lockdown by the time this comes
so,
out.
You know, I'll probably be ovulating,
and
no
we're all,
crying.
Yeah, we'll by all, then. We just want to say to all the people that message us and say, oh, you're happy because masks off. Oh, you're happy because this. We don't know. All right? At the moment, we're masked up and we're having that hand sanitizer like nobody's business. And that's just what I think our life will be. And that is okay as long as I can go for a walk. I don't care anymore. If I can go more than 5Ks from home, woohoo.
What about what made a difference?
All right. So I've got two things that made a difference. My beautiful friend Lorraine and I have started walking again some days and it's just so nice. And one day it was hot and I said, I just haven't got the energy, and we just did laps of an oval.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I don't have to be fit and fantastic at this, but it's just nice to be outside.
Yeah.
And the problems we solve, really, ScoMo should ring me at the end of the walk.
Oh,
because
totally. You got it all sorted.
I have. And the other thing is that within a short distance between Mandy's house and my house, there are goats.
This is the greatest.
I've got photos of these goats that I can put up on Instagram if you care. I don't know if you'll care. They are getting rid of weeds. It's from a company called Graze Away, because every time I see I'm like, sail away, sail away, sail away. Anyway, but they're grazing away. These goats, I'm telling you, there's been queues of cars because we've been in lockdown.
If you're in your 5K,
you can come and see the goats. It's like a petting zoo.
Every day I've come.
I can't not visit them.
I know.
I'm like, wonder how the goats are going.
I know.
And we go down. And
I'm so worried about them.
The amount of bush they've eaten through. They're amazing.
Oh, my gosh. They're machines.
Oh, so they make a difference, the goats. Sorry. You have changed our 5Ks.
I know. Keep them there. I was like,
can we just move them around? I want them to always be here.
I've just been bringing the girls because I thought I've just got to give them a little memory for this 5-day lockdown. That's sort of something funny.
And we have too.
Yeah.
So we can walk from our house to the goats and, you know, literally, while I have been recording, I've had a Snapchat of children at the goats. So children of all ages.
Miss
Let
Ten
me tell you.
Kissing the goat through the fence. Molly.
They come right up to you.
Very calmly padding.
Oh, they're beautiful goats.
Oh, my goodness.
They are beautiful. And they can climb trees. So
when they get up on their back legs, everyone's like, whoa.
Sometimes there's like 30 people. It's hilarious. Socially distanced, of course.
Yeah. With masks.
Oh, yeah. Melbourne's are all about the masks. So that has been a big make a difference.
Have you got
what
another
about
one?
You?
Oh, I've started watching Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist
season
2.
Watching it.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's been great.
I should do that.
I don't want to say nonsense, but
it's just
sort of
you can just have it on.
Yeah. You know, I didn't take much concentrating.
No,
and it's the first little bit, if you know the first series, they're just dealing with the new reality up there. Yeah. And so it's the music again and just lighthearted, the whole series.
The
is
singing,
there.
I just loved any.
And my Bridgerton books came. So because I ordered them like on the 30th of December and they just came the first three. So I just started reading.
Are they good?
I just read 10 pages last night before I fell asleep. I was like, I'm going to read these because I did not know that this was a world that I'm missing out on.
No, I know. I'm very disappointed to have not
known. And I want to read the next, all the books, so before the next season, so I know what's happening.
Yeah.
So I've got FOMO. So, yeah, but I'll tell you what made me laugh.
Yep.
Laugh till I cried like everyone else was the lawyer on Zoom who was a cat.
Oh, stop it. It was better than the potato.
It was better than the potato.
I didn't think anything could be better than the potato.
Kate, and he goes, I'm not a cat.
I am not a cat. We know. And just his eyes darting to try and work out the screen.
The eyes.
Oh.
It just was gold for that whole day. Oh. I kept playing it.
I did put on our Insta stories because I'm like, I can't.
I'm sorry, but I'm not a cat.
I'm happy to continue if you are. No one's going to continue while you're a cat. And number one daughter's like, I'm sorry, but how do you accidentally put a cat filter on?
It just took the world by storm.
It really did.
I laughed so hard. Oh, my gosh. And then we were back to remote learning. So Miss Ten was like, can you video me throwing a ball from 10 different directions into a basket? And so we did that. Many times. I have to do it in a minute.
Made me laugh.
And then I said, I don't know how to send it to you. And she goes, AirDrop.
AirDrop.
She goes, 40-year-old woman's. Okay, 40-year-old woman's.
40-year-old woman's. They don't know what they're doing.
And also Molly made me laugh because she made a Milo, so milk with Milo.
Yep.
And she's sipping away and then she goes, I can't. It tastes like udders.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, Molly, get onto the soy milk. It doesn't go off for months and months.
Okay, I'll give that a try.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like udders. Almond milk.
Go for it.
Well, what's made me laugh is doing remote learning as well.
Oh, boy.
Even though we're, please, back at school by the time you hear this. If you're in the hangout, you've seen the videos that I've put up of the boys. I just forgot how unbelievably hilarious they are, incredibly creative, not at doing schoolwork but doing other things. And I just think how smart you are to be able to do all these things.
Skewers, I'm watching one now.
We've played so much with skewers, I can't even tell you, or as we call them, very long pointy matchsticks. And then yesterday we were doing science and it was chemistry. And I was like, they were watching a video and then I was repeating it because I was writing it down for them. So I thought, well, I'll say it again. And so I was like, we were talking about the periodic table. And I was like, I have forgotten all of this, Mandy.
I have
all
no idea.
All of it gone.
Yeah.
I was learning. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. They all mean something.
CO2?
I'm just like, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, helium. Anyway, it doesn't matter because I don't need to know it. But when we were talking about the way it's laid out, the man on the video said, so metals are on the left, non-metals on the right. So I repeated as a good mum. I was like, so right, Buzz, did you hear that? It's metals on the left, non-metals on the right. And he goes to me, good chat, mum. Good chat, mum. Not quite like my friends at school, but good chat.
Okay, well done.
As if he wants me just repeating, metals
on the left.
On the left, non-metals on the right. Good chat, mum.
Yeah, good. Well done, mum.
And then we lose half the conversation because we're laughing and we miss the next thing that
it's
about the metals.
It's just ridiculous.
Anyway, doesn't matter. It's been fun to have them around. I do love them. I think they're awesome kids.
I'm glad they are.
It's been really hard. And don't get me wrong, I called in sick one afternoon. I just emailed the school and said, we're done.
Yeah, it's over.
We're done. We just got to go outside and invent things.
Yeah.
But, because it's revoltingly hard for any kids with additional needs and disabilities. It is nearly impossible.
And I also want to say there's discrepancies between the special schools. And so people are, you know, some of my friends are saying this is discrimination because my school, nothing, just a phone call.
Yeah.
Other special schools, at least some ideas. Then one of my friends was like, well, at least you got a phone call.
Yeah,
I know it was snap. I'm not criticising them because it was such short notice.
Well, I've got friends whose kids just didn't go on Monday. The schools just said, let us sort it out.
Which I thought that's reasonable.
Yeah, because we just don't know. And I think everyone in the world knows now everything can change tomorrow.
That's right.
And that's really been, I mean, interestingly, my niece is getting married in Canberra and I'm fingers crossed going up to this wedding. But her mother said to me, well, have you booked your flights? And I was like, no. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, we'll probably get locked down before then. Anyway, ironically, we did get locked down. So I think, especially if you live in Melbourne, but surely the whole of Australia and the world has just learnt to not plan anything properly.
Oh, I'm not
properly.
Planning anything.
Like, well, if it happens, it happens. I really want to go. Yes. I love her dearly and I want to see her married. But, oh, well, if I go, I go. If I don't, I don't.
Exactly.
This is just who we are.
It's just the truth.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to leave on a despondent note.
No, okay.
I don't mind. I don't mind that now. I'm like, well, that's what life is.
I know. That's right.
It's okay. We've got goats.
We're okay.
The goats are here. Yep. We can survive anything. Just don't take the goats away.
And it's been funny to say to them, listen here, mate, look, you've left a big patch over there.
I know. Can what are you doing?
What are you doing?
I know.
Like all of you, you're all down this end.
I come back
and
over
you've
here.
You've got a fair bit of work to do
so
up here.
So many blackberries they've eaten.
I know.
I just was like, what's their mouths?
What are their
they
stomachs?
They can eat prickles.
I know. I'm like, their stomachs must be made of iron.
Once again, probably we learnt this in Year 9 science.
Probably. Anyway, we will leave you be, peas.
Goodbye,
we hope you
peas.
Like this episode on books.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just us ranting, rating.
Rate and review.
Thank
and
you.
I just wanted to let you know that did just have a text from the sound engineer who goes, I want to know what happens with the goat poop. Like, are they collecting that?
It's little.
Is that,
it's quite little.
It's little.
We've already looked at it.
Yeah,
and it
it's
looks
probably
quite
composts
small.
Down.
Yeah, so it's not like a big shit.
See, some book podcasts, you get really important things. We'll discuss goat poop.
Goat poop.
So
it's quite little. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's probably not squishy. It'll go hard.
No,
quick,
no,
I
yeah.
Reckon.
It's like sort of like rabbit
like
poop.
Like rabbit
you know?
Poop. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, there you go. Peace.
Okay. Okay, see you later. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.